Article 37. Now, what you have in front of you in the Psalter book is the 1618-1619 edition. I'm going to be reading from the one that is current, the 1914 edition. So just kind of compare mentally in your mind. They're almost exactly the same.
What was the article?
37. In all churches there shall be a consistory composed of the ministers of the word and the elders, who at least in larger congregations shall, as a rule, meet once a week. The minister of the word, or the ministers, if there be more than one, in turn, shall preside and regulate the proceedings. Whenever the number of the elders is small, the deacons may be added to the consistory by local regulation. This shall invariably be the rule where the number is less than three. Basically, this is kind of a blueprint for how to organize local church government. It's interesting how in our denomination, the word consistory has come to be known as the minister, elders, and deacons together. Actually, by all rights, according to the church order, that's not really accurate. If you notice, this article says the consistory is really the minister and the ruling elders, and if there's more than one minister, he's involved too. And then at another place, when the deacons meet with the minister and elders, that's called a council, which is why we've been referring to ourselves as a church council rather than a consistory. But whenever I write to other people, you'll notice sometimes I slip in the word consistory because I'm sure they won't understand what I mean by council because it's not used. So just so you're aware of that. And obviously we're not keeping up with the church order. We don't meet once a week. This was written in a time when everybody lived on the same street, more or less. Came in from their farm work, had not a great deal to do on Saturdays. So, consistory meetings every week were very common. Now, technically we do meet, but we meet on the Lord's Day and not for business. We meet for worship, so we don't exactly meet this criteria. And it's a little bit more difficult for us to do this. Then you'll also notice that, this is so regrettable but historically understandable, that the minister is automatically the chairperson of the meeting by church order. Now, the reason for that historically was, quite honestly, there weren't a lot of trained elders, there weren't a lot of educated elders. So the ministers were pretty much the only people who went on for further education in many churches, who were trained in the church order and all kinds of stuff like that. Now, you can see the dangers, right, of that. And it's happened historically that ministers kind of ran the show, so to speak. And that's not a good thing. So that's exactly why we're doing this study in each of our council meetings, because we want everybody to be up to speed and assisting in the regulation of the church. But anyway, that's in this article. And then there is a provision, and it's used often in our churches, where if there are three or less elders, and I'm assuming that means including the minister, then automatically the deacons would be included in the ruling council and would have an equal vote with the others. Technically, they're called assistant elders in that capacity. But I think it is healthy, even in those situations, and I think we practice that here, that deacons do their work, elders do their work, and we meet together really to do common work that we all have a common share in. Any questions on Article 37? You'll notice what got slipped out of the original article. We no longer invite the magistrates to our meetings. So they were actually not only present, but they were invited to even participate in deliberations, which is interesting. Article 38 is very brief, even more brief in the updated church order. In places where the consistory is to be constituted for the first time or anew, this shall not take place except with the advice of the classes. You may remember, those of you who were here at the time, that when we applied to become an organized congregation with office bearers, we really had to get permission from, at that time it was the classes, to do so. You can't just become an HRC congregation on your own. So the reason for that is actually, the classes wants to make sure that the church has developed, or the church body has developed sufficiently to warrant organization. They also want to be sure through the moderator, or if there's a missionary pastor on the ground in that area and overseeing elders at a distance, they want to make sure that there's men who have at least some gifts and qualifications for the work. Otherwise, you're off to a pretty rough start if you have people in office who really aren't qualified for office. Now, it's to be understood when a church is just beginning, like ours was, you will face criticism, and I did, not from outside our congregation, but from inside, with some of the selections we as a council made for office bearers. But you tried to remind the folks, you know, we have zero office bearing experience among us, so everything is from scratch, so you can't expect, you know, well-seasoned veterans of, you know, office bearing to just step in here. And so we do the best we can identifying the qualifications from 1 Timothy 3 and Titus 1 for office bearers, but, you know, we also look, our help is in the name of the Lord after all. Mm-hmm. And I think he's helped us in great ways, working together to try to grow even in our office bearing. So that's kind of a safeguard, Article 38, against congregation just popping up on their own and becoming autonomous. Any questions on that? Article 39 is a practical one, and we've also lived through that. Places where as yet no consistory can be constituted shall be placed under the care of a neighboring consistory. So we were under the care of the Jordan consistory for quite some time. Their elders oversaw our doings. Their pastor was basically a substitute pastor for here until such time as we were able to organize. You remember, even after I came here for a couple of years, we had visits by the elders from Jordan, for which I'm still very thankful. I think they did a marvelous job in helping us and encouraging us. But once we got set up, they said, well, we're still here for advice, but, you know, our capacity as elders ceases because you have your own consistory. Any questions on that? Now, this was one of the articles that actually would have played rather large if we had tried to do a church plant in Leslie, because then we would have been assigned the oversight of whatever happens there. The elders here would have been the elders overseeing that. I would have been their de facto moderator until such time as they'd have their own minister. So it is a pretty weighty thing to do a church plant, because you have to not just think of the initial steps, but you got to think, you know, down the line, is this sustainable? Do you have office bearer material? You know, that sort of thing. And it takes time, you know, and prayer and effort, but those are things that kind of keep in the back of your mind. It's not just bringing the gospel to a place. It's, can you follow up with what you're doing and sustain it with God's help? Any questions on those articles?